you for joining us this morning with all of Good Shepherd as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I invite you to take a moment to prepare your hearts and minds for worship, and then we will begin with our processional hymn. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of mercy, we no longer look for Jesus among the dead, for he is alive and has become the Lord of life. Increase in our minds and hearts the risen life we share with Christ, and help us to grow as your people toward the fullness of eternal life with you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading for the first Sunday in Easter comes from Acts, the 10th chapter, starting at verse 34. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testified about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will now intone the psalm as printed in the bulletin.
Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever.
Let Israel now declare, God's mercy endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly. The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death. This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter.
I give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation.
The stones that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Our second reading is from the book of 1 Corinthians. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For all of us die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ, but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom of God to the Father, and after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they, the women, came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to them. "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Since I'm still getting to know you, not many people may know this about me yet, but I love to sew. I bought a sewing machine when I was in college, and it mostly sat there because I was in college and had to do school work. And it sat there all through seminary, and I would maybe kind of play with it every now and again. But once I got out of seminary, I was able to really start sewing, and I make clothes for myself, and I love the whole process of adjusting the fit and sewing it together, and then all of a sudden Silas will be working in the kitchen, and I'll run out and say, look, I made a dress. It's fun. I love it. It's one of my hobbies. And because I love to sew, that means I love to buy patterns and buy fabric and all sorts of things. And this last Monday, I had a really great opportunity to buy patterns from a sewing pattern company that I love online. You see, I don't know if you remember, but this Monday was tax day. And because it was tax day, they had a great sale going on at this company. And the coupon code that I had to use in order to get my patterns for cheaper was death and taxes. Because we know these things are inevitable, death and taxes. We paid our taxes this year, like we do every year, and I'm thrilled to be able to pay for roads and buses and all the things that I use in a day-to-day life. And we all know that death is part of life. I thought it was fitting this year that tax day, the day when we joke about the two inevitable things in life, death and taxes, happen at the very beginning of Holy Week. On last Sunday, we had our Palm Sunday, our Passion Sunday, and then on Monday, we were all reminded of the two things that will come, taxes and death. During Holy Week, we spend our time looking death square in the face. It's not typically easy. A lot of times, people feel a lot of strong emotions as we walk through the Passion of Jesus Christ throughout the week. During Holy Week, we acknowledge and name that death will happen. We acknowledge and name that this world is broken, that there is sin and darkness in the world, that things die, things break. We even had plenty of reminders of it this week outside of this church. On Monday, we saw a beautiful cathedral, Notre Dame, burn. Something was destroyed. Luckily, and due to the work of 400 firefighters, the place didn't burn down. But we saw brokenness. Earlier, the week before, we saw more churches burn, not because of an accident like the one at Notre Dame, but because of hatred and anger from somebody who didn't like that the people who worshiped at those churches didn't look like him. Also this week, we saw a woman go from Florida to Colorado, a woman who was clearly ill and who ended up losing her own life as she thought about and meditated on the lives of those that were lost in the Columbine shooting. I'm from Oklahoma, and this week was also the anniversary of the Murrah building bombing, the thing that rocked all of Oklahoma many years ago and showed us all that this world still has darkness and brokenness in it. All of these things on Holy Week, all of these things on the day that we remember that one way or another, we will have taxes and death. Those things have been the case for thousands of years. We have been frail creatures who eventually die for all of history. And so on that Sunday morning, so those years ago, when the women went to the tomb, with their spices and their oils to prepare the body of Jesus for his burial, they were expecting death. They knew what to expect when they got to that tomb. They knew what they were going to see. They had rituals in order to care for the one they loved, just as all of us do. They were going to the tomb to do what they could because once again, life had happened and death had happened. that's what they expected. They didn't know the rest of the story that we know, that we tell every year. All they knew was they had seen their Lord, their teacher, killed. All they knew was now they needed to go on to the work of grieving. And they got to that tomb, and Jesus wasn't there. They got to that tomb expecting to see a body, ready to see a body, to do the work they were called to do. But there was no body. Jesus was gone. In the Gospel of Luke, we see that they are perplexed. They don't understand yet. They don't know what has happened. They aren't joyous yet. They're just confused. What happened to what we were expecting? What happened to our plans for this morning? Because Jesus isn't here. Luckily, some messengers, some angels from God come to tell them and ask them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" You see, they were there to tell them that God had done something new that day. God had created something new. Because that is the promise of the resurrection, that God, the creator of this universe, continues to create something new, even out of the most horrible, tragic things in the world, even out of death. While the women were trying to understand, they went back to the rest of the disciples to tell them, something's happened. Even if they didn't fully understand it now, they wanted to go tell the rest of them, Jesus isn't there. These angels, they said he's alive. Now back then, women weren't trusted, ever. Women couldn't even testify at trials because it was assumed that women would gossip and they would make up things and nothing they said could be trusted. So when they came with this incredible story, Jesus is gone, the angels say he's alive, even though we saw him die, the rest of the disciples were like, those silly women, they're just upset. Go away. They couldn't believe it either. But then we had Peter, brash, always ready for action Peter. Even here, he hears these women, this crazy story they have to tell, and he wonders, what if it's true? What if this crazy story from these women is true and Jesus, my Lord, my teacher, my friend, isn't dead? So he goes to the tomb to see for himself. No Jesus. He sees the linen cloths lied there. So no one probably took the body because they wouldn't have unwrapped it. And no Jesus. And he walks away amazed. Now, I don't think Peter understood that day quite what was going on either. In the next few weeks, we'll read the stories of Jesus coming to the disciples, showing them who he is, showing them just what God is doing. But that first day, they start to ask the question, what if God did something new today? What if God created something so beyond our expectations today? It is an incredible story that we tell every year, every week. Jesus died, and he didn't stay dead. This one thing that we know is inevitable, that is a truth of life, death, didn't happen the same way. Jesus died and defeated the darkness in the world. Jesus died and defeated death, sin, brokenness. Jesus died, and then God showed us that there is more. And today I invite us to think just like Peter and Mary and Joanna and the other Mary and all of those who saw that first day, who maybe didn't fully understand, but they tried. What if it's true? How are our lives different if death is not the end? How are our lives different if we know that God moves beyond our expectations? It's hard work to live in that reality so far beyond what we know. We probably never get it completely right, but we practice. We tell the story again and again. We live into the story as congregations, as people of faith. The church has been practicing for thousands of years now. What if it's true that God defeated death? What if it's true that there is more? That brokenness, sin, darkness does not have the last word, but life does. God, the Creator, has the last word. How different will our lives be if we live into that promise? When we see darkness in the world, we can know that God is there. God walked through the darkest days of this world in the flesh. But God did not let that be the end. And God does not let that be the end for us. We see new life spring forth every year, every spring, in relationships, in congregations, in our own lives of faith. Death and taxes, they may be inevitable. They may be part of the life we live in this world, but God promises that that is not the end. And what if we live like that's not the end? Amen.
Thank you.
in the promise of the resurrection and with the whole church, let us confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father,
is great.
We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God. Come near to us with your saving help. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of the risen Lord be with you always.
Also with you.
I invite you to share that peace with your neighbor.
Let us pray. Risen one, as you broke bread with the disciples on the shore, meet us now in this meal. Nourish us to follow you, using our gifts to feed the hungry and tend the weary, in all of your love's sake.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy,
holy Lord, Lord God,
heart,
heaven and earth are full of glory.
Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We praise you for the grace shown to your people in every age, the promise to Israel, the rescue from Egypt, the gift of the promised land, the words of the prophets, and at this, the end of all the ages, the gift of your Son, who proclaimed the good news in word and deed and was obedient to your will, even to giving his life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Therefore, O God, with this bread and cup, we remember the life of our Lord offered for us. And believing the witness of his resurrection, we await his coming in power to share with us the great and promised feast. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Send now, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that we who share in Christ's body and blood may live to the praise of your glory and receive our inheritance with all your saints in light. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Join our prayers with those of your servants of every time and every place, and unite them with the ceaseless petitions of our great high priest until he comes as victorious Lord of all. Through him and with him and in him,
In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty and Father, now and forever. Amen.
Bread of life from heaven.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, gives everyone a place at the welcome table. Alleluia, come to the feast.
Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen.
With our brokenness and nourished us with the body of Christ, broken for us. Risen to new life with you, send us now to bear your healing love into the wounded world in the name of our risen Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Just a quick announcement. You are all welcome to join us in the fellowship hall to your right as you leave the sanctuary for brunch following the service. And it is wonderful to have you all here. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.